through that. Good morning. Is it good to be in God's house? Yeah. Amen, it is. Welcome to worship at Bethany United Methodist Church. We are a blessed people because we don't have to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem once a year in order to worship at the temple. Can I hear an amen? Our fathers and ancestors had to do this. They had to do it every year, and they would sing songs called the Psalms of Ascent as they ascended the steps to the temple, and they sang it on their journey. One such psalm was written by David. He sang in Psalm 133, 1 through 2, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live in unity with you today. It is like precious oil poured on the head, and it is good. It is good to be here worshiping in unity." Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. We give you thanks this day. Thank you for forgiveness, unconditional love, mercy, and healing. Thank you for all the blessings you give us each and every day. We pray that our worship puts a smile on your face this morning, Lord. We come before you just as we are, Lord, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, please come into our midst. Fill us to overflowing. Fill our senses with the presence of our God, who is mighty to save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move. Conquered the grave. all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and
as we already know, we're going through a difficult season with the pandemic and all the resulting restrictions. Amen? We may not be able to go all to all of the places we want to or do all of the things that we want to do. But one thing we can do is count on Jesus. He told his disciples in John 16:33, which, by the way, is one of my favorite scriptures, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Say that with me. I have overcome the world. So if Jesus could overcome the world, I think he can handle a little old pandemic, don't you? Yeah, of course he can. We can count on Jesus to get us through this. And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy, folks. No, it hasn't been easy. It's not going to be easy. But we don't have to do easy because we have Jesus. Jesus is our hope. In Christ alone is our hope.
Thank you.
Now, Pastor Susan will bring us a children's moment.
Good morning. Good to see you today. So behind me, that's a picture of Matcha. He is a white Australian tree frog, and you can see he's been eating a lot of crickets. He's a big guy. He belongs to my daughter, and he's trying to get bigger, I think, than her other frog. But the reason I'm showing him today is because it reminds me of an acronym. You've probably heard it, FROG, Fully Relying on God. So when you are not sure what to do, you can think of this guy. And then remember that we need to fully rely on God. And I want to tell you a story. There was a little girl, her name was Emma, and she was in the second grade. And she noticed that there was one little boy in her class who didn't seem to have any friends, and his name was Spencer. So one day, she out on the playground, she asked him if he would play with her. And he said, yes. He just lit up. He was really happy about that. And so they swung on the swings together and slid on the slide. And they went on playing at recess for about a week. And then one day while they were out there on the playground, some bigger kids came and they said, ooh, is that your boyfriend? And she said, no, he's just my friend. And they said, oh, you shouldn't play with him. He's a dummy. He's going to make you dumb like him. And she was like getting kind of upset now and said, yeah, he was held back a grade. Don't let him make you stupid. And she was upset. And the next day, she decided she wasn't going to play with Spencer. She didn't want those big kids to come and tease her again So for a couple days, she didn't play with them. But then the teacher assigned them to do a project together. And so Spencer said, well, you know, it's okay that you don't want to play with me. You know, I know you don't want those big kids to tease you. Last year, I was in their class, but I got held back a grade. And so she could see, though, that Spencer was kind of sad. So she went home and she talked to her mom. And she said, Mom, I like Spencer. I like playing with him, but I'm afraid of those big kids. And so her mom talked about it. And her mom showed her a picture of this frog, this big fat frog. And she said, you got to remember the frog, because the frog stands for fully relying on God. God can help you through those tough times, help you be brave when you want to be afraid. And so the next day, she and Spencer played on the playground, and when those big kids came around and started to make fun, she said, you don't know anything. Spencer is my friend. And you know, they went away. So remember, when you don't know what to do, remember the frog. Fully rely on God. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes we want to do everything ourselves, but help us to rely on you, to seek you out when we need wisdom and courage and all those good things. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and it can be read responsively. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Just a reminder that if you are at home or in the parking lot and you have a prayer request, you can text that to 540-495-0501. That's 495-0501. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you search out and seek out the lost. We give you thanks that we're found. And so as we consider your message today, help us to hear with new ears. Help us to consider what it is you are telling us this morning. Amen. Well, you may have heard this story about a man who was outdoors. It was starting to get dark. He was on unfamiliar territory, and by accident, he stumbled over a ridge and started tumbling down this steep hillside, almost a cliff. And before he got to the bottom, though, he managed to grab hold of a bush. And as he grabbed hold of it, he realized that his feet were now dangling in midair. And so he was clinging to this bush, to this branch, and he starts to pray. Not usually a prayerful man, but he begins to pray, and he said, "Lord, if there's anybody up there, save me from this predicament I'm in." And he was bruised and scratched and bleeding, and he's clinging onto it, and he hears a voice, and the voice says, "Let go of the bush." And he thinks about it, and he says, "Is there anybody else up there?" We live like that, right? I mean, we think we know. You know, maybe his feet were just inches from the bottom, inches from the ground, but he wants to hold on to what he's got because it feels, well, a little more secure than falling. Well, we were having a difficult time in our lives. This was back when our oldest daughter was about a year old, and my mother-in-law encouraged Mike and I to go to church. That was her advice, and I wasn't adverse to the idea. As a couple, Mike and I had been Christmas and Easter churchgoers. We were living with Mike's mom for that summer while we were getting back on our feet, looking to move to, well, anywhere that we could get work, and it was easy to go to his mom's church. It was just a few miles down the road, but I wasn't really expecting a whole lot out of this. I didn't know much about Jesus, and my entire knowledge of the Old Testament was based on the Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments. Moses, as Charlton Heston. So church was an alien culture to me. I stuck close to Mike. I stood when he stood, and I sang when he sang, and I read when I needed to read. And when he sat down to listen, I sat down to listen. It seemed sort of random at first, but I was going along with the program. And it was around the third Sunday that we'd been attending at Lane Memorial, and something happened. It began to mean something to me. The minister was Reverend Jim Tung, now retired and living in Bridgewater, and he began talking about sheep, about how sheep are kind of stupid, and how Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And we're like sheep who keep going astray, going every which way, when in fact God is providing everything we need right where we are. And I had been searching for a lot of my life. I had been down more than a few dead ends, looking for meaning in my life. I had tried drugs and alcohol and Zen Buddhism and some other kind of New Age spirituality, and none of it really seemed to give me what I was looking for. And I began to think that there might be something to what I was hearing about Jesus Christ. And I mentioned to my mother-in-law that I might want to become a Christian. Well, before 24 hours was up, I was signed up for a home visit with the pastor. She had been praying for me. And I think about that as we think about the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, right? We've heard the song. Maybe we've sung it in Vacation Bible School. And the song focuses on the size of Zacchaeus. But there are two other important characteristics about this wee little man. He is curious enough about who Jesus is that he's willing to risk looking foolish by climbing a tree. And also, he is not just a tax collector, but he is the chief tax collector. He is the head of the tax collector in the wealthy city of Jericho, this city that was built up by Herod the Great. And we can guess that Zacchaeus, living in a wealthy city and being the one who is in charge of taking up the tolls and the taxes and the import fines and all of those things, is wealthy. And it says he's rich, but he's probably not very popular. He's probably not at all well liked, because unlike the people who work for the IRS today, in those times, tax collectors could take as much as they could squeeze out of people. There was the amount that Rome wanted to collect, and then the way that tax collectors were paid was by whatever extra they could get out of folks. Now, perhaps Zacchaeus decided that he needed to see Jesus because Jesus was known to be a friend of tax collectors. He ate with them and other sinners, and maybe he had even heard about how Jesus had called another tax collector named Matthew to follow him. Maybe he thought, here's someone who won't look at me and despise me. But whatever it was that put him up that tree, whether he thought that he might be safe, kind of out of the way, or whether he thought that Jesus might do something for him or be something worthwhile, I don't know that he was expecting that Jesus was going to stop under that tree and look at him and say, I'm coming over to your house. I mean, it wasn't that unusual for Jesus to eat with folks who were not part of the religious in crowd. But when he notices Zacchaeus, people start to grumble. I mean, he's not just a Roman sympathizer, he's a Roman collaborator, and so they begin to mumble about it. But Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. Emily Post might be shocked by that, but Jesus wasn't about courtesy or convention. He looked up in that tree and he saw more than just the city's chief tax collector, the guy who worked for the Romans. He saw a man who was searching for something. I wonder if Zacchaeus ever had anyone want to come over to his house to eat. Maybe everybody else saw him as his job and not as the person he could be. And that's the amazing thing about Jesus, that he saw people for what they could be and not for what they were. When a Roman centurion comes to Jesus and asks him to heal his servant, Jesus doesn't see the enemy. He sees a man of faith who believes that Jesus can make his servant well with just a word. Jesus encounters people who are blind, and he recognizes that they can see. He meets lepers and understands that they could be made well and whole again and come back into society. He sees Zacchaeus not as a tax collector, but as someone who could be redeemed and become a blessing to his community. Once Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, it didn't take long for Zacchaeus to take the plunge. He is giving half of all he owns to the poor and paying back anyone else four times what he might have taken from them illegally. That's a pretty big jump. He has decided to be someone new, the person Jesus recognized he could be, and it all happens in a flash. Kim Miller decided to jump out of a plane for Jesus. I'm not recommending anyone else do that, but it was an interesting example of what it means to really commit to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Kim was the creative worship director at Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church, and the ministry team was trying to come up with something that would demonstrate someone making a total commitment. Someone making a total commitment and not backing away from it. Getting to that point where they couldn't back down. They were going to illustrate the scripture about Zacchaeus. And so they came up with some ideas. The ministry team thought about, you know, climbing up on a high dive, like you get up there and you can't really back down unless you go, you know, past all the people. It's really awkward. Or maybe bungee jumping was a possibility, kind of a you can't turn back sort of thing. And then her boss said, "Hey, Kim, why don't you jump out of a plane today?" And she said, "Me? I don't even let my kids go to the top of the monkey bars." And he said, "That makes you the perfect candidate." And they thought about simulating a parachute jump. But even Kim said that that didn't send quite the right message. I mean, we can be simulated Christians, right? We can have all the outward appearance of it. But it doesn't mean we've made the decision to take the plunge. And she said, "I have to have the fear of what it means to make the decision to jump for it to be authentic." She wasn't going to act like she was going to jump. She decided then and there that she really was going to jump out of a plane that day, and she did. That afternoon, she was up in this tiny airplane, 13,000 feet in the air, getting ready to parachute to the earth while the whole thing was videotaped. And they did a part where Kim explained what it felt like to make the jump, and she noted that people don't like to make choices. It's easier and safer not to commit. But Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." There is a choice we're called to make. And it might not be quite as dramatic as jumping out of a plane or giving up half of everything you own to the poor. But Jesus calls us to commitment. Jesus calls us to go all in, to give our whole selves, and to rely on God. As I said, after I heard that sermon about Jesus the shepherd and the wandering sheep, I thought I might want to be a Christian. I didn't know what I was getting into. Later, my dad would say, "What is this cult called Methodism?" But the thing that convinced me that I wanted to begin to follow Jesus was a single word: grace. As far as I knew, the opposite of grace was being a klutz. But I had heard this hymn played, not in church, as part of a soundtrack of the movie Silkwood. And if it was so amazing, what was this thing called grace? So when Reverend Tung came to visit me, we talked about my faith life, which was pretty much non-existent. I'd never been baptized, I'd never been part of a church. And he told me that Lane Memorial was about to start a new members class, and I could be a part of that and learn what I needed to know to make an informed decision. And then he asked me if I had any questions, and I did. I wanted to know what grace was. And then he told me about prevenient grace. He told me that God had loved me before I had ever thought about God, that God desired a relationship with me even before I knew anything about God. God saw me as someone who could be loved. And maybe that wasn't jumping out of the plane, but it was my jumping out of the plane moment, or pretty close to it. Because as a kid, I hadn't felt very loved. I mean, I was loved. I see that now. But I lived in a house where nobody said, "I love you." And it was kind of a chaotic house, the kind of house where people punched holes in the walls and broke plates on the ceiling, that kind of place. And to suddenly know that God had loved me even when things seemed darkest, even looking back in retrospect, that's when I knew. That's when I knew I wanted to be a part of this. I wanted to go all in. We hear the story of Zacchaeus. We think about him being this little short man who can't see over the crowd. But he's more than that. He is, Jesus sees, a man who has a heart that can be generous. He can be someone who follows and finds a new way to be. We don't know if he ever collected taxes anymore, but we know that he had a heart for the poor ever afterwards. Like him, let us be all in for Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm so thankful for all who make Sunday mornings happen and make things go during the week. Sometimes things just appear, like this background here. That's a beautiful thing. Appreciate all that everyone does. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this body of Christ at work in the world. Thank you for those people who hand out food every Monday. Thank you for those people who clean the church, who make it look beautiful, who give of their time and of themselves. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, we have a few announcements. Reminder that we are looking for people to sign up to cut the grass over the summer, so you can let the office know if you'd like to do that. I hear it's very relaxing out there on the riding mower. Also, on Good Friday, March 2nd, we'll be having an event here, some activities, some interactive stations, communion, and then we'll be at 6:30, we'll be showing a streaming a videotaped service, so we invite you to that. We are planning on having an Easter egg hunt on Easter Sunday, April 4th, and so we're looking for donations of things that we can put in the eggs. And What am I forgetting? Well, check your happenings in case I am forgetting something. A few prayer concerns. Of course, we want to continue to be in prayer for Roy Lee's family, and as he passed away, and also continue to pray for Dennis Myers, who is related to Rosemary and Leslie and Dale and Marguerite. He is now in the ICU at Medical College of Virginia. So keep him in your prayers. Any other joys or concerns this morning?
Bob Stickley.
Bob Stickley? Please be in prayer for Bobby Stickley, who's having...
He's got a garage here in Weir's Cave.
Okay. Who owns the garage. And here in Weir's Cave, and is having issues, heart troubles. Has been in the hospital for about 3 weeks, so we'll definitely keep him in our prayers. Anyone else? Let us pray. Oh, Lord, this is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we see the beginning of spring just starting to emerge. Lord, help us to remember that you bring us new life, that you have called us your people, and we are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. Lord, keep us in that hope and promise of new life. Gracious God, you know that we don't always do everything we ought to do, or there are times we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing, but Lord, forgive us. Forgive us and direct our path once more. Show us what it means to be a real follower of Jesus Christ. We pray this morning for those who are suffering with illness, and we ask that you pour out healing upon them. Lord, we ask that you bind up the brokenhearted and give them hope in eternal life. Lord, as we come together, help us to recognize Jesus Christ as our leader, as the head of the church, as the one who shows us and sets us the example of what it means to live a life of faith, a life dedicated to you. Continue to build us up as the body of Christ, shedding his light in the world. In his name I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
And now we'll close with Victory in Jesus. And you're welcome to clap. We may not be able to sing together, but we can clap, right?
Stand. And now go forth. In all that you do, be a witness to the one who saves you, the one who made you, the one who calls upon you to be light in the world. Amen.